Hi, this is Scott Callon from Ichigo. Thank you everybody very much for joining. We appreciate your time. I'm working off of our FY19 to fiscal year 2019 February Q3 corporate presentation that's on our website. So let's dive in. Turning to page 6, we show what we think are some of the highlights for the quarter. We continue to have a very durable earnings model. We have overwhelmingly higher stock earnings, meaning ongoing fixed earnings relative to our expenses. Those earnings are growing across the board. If you take a look at asset management, it looks like we're forecasting $2 billion versus $2 billion for what we did last year. We expect to beat this forecast. Similar in clean energy, where we've done $1.7 billion in the first three quarters, and the full year forecast is $1.6 billion. We fully expect to beat that. We did a share buyback during the quarter. I'll go through in more detail these topics. We're making some progress on, some people call it retech, real estate tech. Some people call it prop tech, property tech. We're making some progress there with our AI-based hotel revenue management system. We've done a new entry in smart agriculture. The firm is deeply committed to serving both society and serve our shareholders by being a growth company, and there are a number of initiatives underway that we're very excited about. Let me turn to the quarter that just ended. That's on page 7. Operating profit was up 24%, net income up 11%, EPS up 12% year on year. So we're on track to deliver record earnings for the firm in this fiscal year. Page 8 shows you the breakdown. Asset management, as I said earlier, our stock earnings are growing well across the board. So base asset management fees were up 11% year on year. So you see in the breakdown with the asset management, it's actually down 1.3% because there's a mix change. It's been very positive. Stable earnings have gone up, kind of spot earnings specifically. Cash flow base foreign fees at each of the office REIT are down, but the mix is, as I said, very, very positive. So we're flattish for asset management on a year-to-date basis, and we expect to beat last year's numbers when we finish the year at the end of February. In value add, we're up 24.6% year on year. That has got rental income up 15% year on year and gains on value add sales by up 34%. So as you can see also across the board, we're at 90% versus our full year forecast for asset management, 82% for value add, 82% for clean energy. We're well on track, as I said earlier, to beating this year's forecast. Clean energy has got the biggest move. There's, again, a mix change that is very positive in terms of what it implies for ongoing earnings stability. 64% increase in OP year on year. That is being delivered by a complete zeroing out of gains on sales of power plants that we had last year, and an increase, a 1.5x increase in our power generation revenues. We've got 7 new power plants that came on board. We'll go forward. Page 10 begins showing you some of the characteristics of our business model. You can see FY19/2Q3, the breakdown of our stock and our flow earnings. They're about 50-50. It is our intent to continue to grow the durability of our earnings, both by increasing the stock component and by also increasing the diversity of the flow earnings, such that there's less cyclicality in it. This is going to be another year of strong growth in terms of completely moving forward on that agenda. Page 11 shows kind of another element of the business model, which is that we create significant value through our value-add activities. We think our economic earnings are higher than our accounting earnings, and so you effectively have an earnings bank in future periods when you actually record the value-add that you've generated by doing an actual asset sale. Page 12 shows an update as to where we are. So on the previous page, we suggest we have, per the external third-party appraisers, we have $45 billion of unrealized gains. Page 12 shows you that, in fact, over time, we've demonstrated that we create overwhelmingly more value than what the appraisers would indicate. And so year-to-date, we've generated 2.2x in terms of actual realized gains versus what the unrealized gains were per the appraisers. The gross margin continues to be very, very high at 31%. 13 gives you kind of the balance sheet that supports the business. We believe we should have as much as possible a bulletproof balance sheet that is deeply related to having stable long-term borrowings. So you can see that the average borrowing loan period continues to be 10 years. Their loan maturity is 7.5 years. We borrow at less than 1%. It is an extraordinary benefit to being a Japanese company with the credit markets open to us. I put out on the most recent call, and it's true and continues to be true. There has been some wobbliness with respect to access to bank credit among some of the weaker players in the market, certainly with respect to individuals with high leverage transactions against assets that are not particularly good. That is just not the case for us. We have overwhelming access to credit. That's the good news. You know, the bad news is that it is a very competitive market out there with respect to acquisitions, but our credit position is durable and continues to get stronger. We'll look at page 15, where we point to both kind of what the stock earnings growth has looked like, which is 41% within our value-add business over the last 3 years, up 50% year-on-year. On the right-hand side of the page, you see the sales and acquisitions within the value-add segment. We sold about 40 billion yen worth of assets, $400 million worth of assets. We bought about the same amount, 43 billion yen. It's interesting. I don't know if I'm preempting a question. The market for real estate in Japan continues to be very, very robust. Kind of the wheels seem to be coming off or not coming off, and there's a lot of volatility in global capital markets. But cap rates, if anything, continue to be kind of inching downward. The one thing that's pretty noticeable, though, is it used to be that kind of 10 people would want to buy an asset, and at this current pricing, like half the people are dropping. So it's like it was a 4 cap, and there are 10 buyers for it. Now it's the 3.8 cap, and there are 5 buyers for it. There clearly are market participants who are pulling back at this point in time. That does imply if you want to get kind of best possible price, you possibly have to have your asset in the market longer. But there has been no, look, people talk about kind of apartment investment, apartments in bad areas, and you know, done by amateurs at a very high leverage. Keeping that kind of toxic, very, very small part of the market aside, in the core activity that we're involved with good assets, good locations, cap rates are continue to be kind of creeping down a little bit. Which means, we're cautious on the buying side. I know we work very, very hard to add value to assets. We only buy assets that we're comfortable we can add value to. We have done substantial work to continue to build our capabilities in this area. But it's a tough place. It's a tough environment to buy. It's an extraordinary great environment to sell. That has not changed at all in the last 3 months. Page 16 shows, I think for the first time, gives you some data on what we've done with our lifestyle hotel brand. For those who heard this before, my apologies. For those who are new to the story, there is a shortage of high quality kind of boutique like, the industry calls them lifestyle hotels. In Japan, it's really easy to find a business hotel that's a box and a very small box, and it costs $80 a night. And it's relatively easy to find places that cost $300, $500 a night. But if you really want to stay in a place, something that's nice, for $150 a night, there aren't a lot of options. So we think this is a massive market opportunity. If you're interested in the data, in the first half, in October, we actually have some data on this in the presentation in terms of the under-delivery against this need in the current in the Japanese market. But anyway, we've taken two hotels that were 33 years old and 39 years old, respectively, with kind of relatively aging infrastructure and an out-of-date kind of offer to hotel guests. One of them is in Yokohama. It's called the Knot Yokohama, so that's our brand, the Knot, and that opened in the end of 2017. The Knot Tokyo Shinjuku opened in August of 2018, so just within the last 6 months. And you can see what happens when you invest enough and the hotel to provide an offer. I mean, I say investment, but there was actually a very, very substantial rework in both cases of the infrastructure of the hotel in order to bring them up to spec with kind of what we need today. But the result of that is you drive the ADR in the case of Yokohama by 22%. You drive the ADR, so the average daily rate in the not Tokyo by 60%+. So at this point, as you can see on the page, the not Tokyo Shinjuku is just an absolute home run. And we will have follow on to this. We expect to open up the knots in Sapporo and Sapporo and in Hiroshima in 2020. This is clearly the case. As you know about Ichigo, we tend to start small. We verify there's an actual need. We verify the economics make sense. We verify we have the capability to deliver through the cycle on those economics to the client and the needs and the economics to our shareholders, and then we begin to expand. So the knot, we think, is a potential important value driver for us in the hotel space going forward. Page 17 shows the clean energy growth roadmap hasn't particularly changed. You may have seen in the last 3 months, you may have seen that we brought online our 40th utility scale solar plant this month. So this is a business that we entered in 2012, and we're up to 40 plants operating nationwide. Wind, as you can see on page 18, continues to be a place that we expect to be active in. The one thing that's happened, unfortunately, is that we've had to push back the operation start date for the very first wind power plant to September of 2020. That's nothing on our side. That actually the client, who is the EPCO, had to do some work in terms of grid hookups and that sort of thing. So that is now a September 2020 launch for us in the wind business. Page 19 shows what we're trying to do in the asset management business to be innovative and deliver value for shareholders. Look, I think we all understand that the J-REIT market has been challenged by a reputation of sponsors not necessarily serving the interests of REIT shareholders. And at Ichigo, we work intensely hard for our shareholders, all shareholders, our REIT shareholders. We manage conflicts by delivering a governance structure that is rare, if not unique, within the J-REIT business. We have entirely independent boards at our REITs. One of the things we decided that we would do to kind of demonstrate an ongoing commitment to serve our REIT shareholders in a way that we think is unmatched in the market was to introduce the first no-fixed fee J-REIT. This is, so you can see on the page, we eliminated kind of fees that are common in Japan for J-REITs that have nothing to do with growing value for shareholders. So you buy an asset, or you get some money on it. You have assets under management, you get money for it. So we've moved entirely to a fee structure that is performance fee-based in order to generate significant higher alignment with our shareholders. And you know what? Investors are smart. And so what was so interesting about this was brand new. No one's done it. You always wonder if you know, the market is going to say this is a good idea, if your shareholders are going to say this is a good idea. We this was material non-public information. We weren't able to announce that we were thinking about doing this. We just had to announce it because we thought it was right. And it got 99.3% support. In other words, you know, and maybe the people didn't vote for it, marked their cards wrong. So that's a gratifying response on the part of the investor community in recognizing that the things that we propose make sense for them. So look, the asset management business is a great business. It has not grown nearly as much as we wanted it to in the last couple of years, and so we're continuing to work in ways to deliver value that will allow us to grow this business more. Page 20 gives you some data on what's happening with our hotel AI-based revenue management system. We for the first time, we've got some disclosures here in terms of when we were doing the algorithms that we've embedded into the system manually for 9 hotels in 2017, we saw an uplift in hotel revenue growth of between 11 and 38%. And so this is now, these algorithms have been embedded inside the AI system, which is now in test mode, and we expect to finish the testing by next spring. The goal then would be to have a full rollout of this with against Ichigo's own hotels, and actually, to the extent that the market is interested in this, we are fully prepared to sell this externally And that could be a very interesting non-asset-based earning stream for us, should we succeed in doing so. So things are happening on the Attell side with respect to kind of other activities we're doing, both to drive growth at our own hotels and also drive a new earning stream from the hotel business. Page 21 points to a new entry we've done in agriculture. This is very early days. As I said earlier, we tend to make a very small entry. The agriculture market is massive. It's massively everywhere in the world. It's massive in Japan. We think there's some interesting things that can be done. We bought a agricultural technology company last year as part of our acquisition of Centro. There was a smart agriculture technology startup called Tenuto inside of that, and so we're beginning to incorporate some of Tenuto's technology in our deliverable to farmers. It's very specifically, it's environmentally controlled, IoT-based greenhouse systems. In terms of the technology offer, the financial offer is that we're actually participating with the farmer. We're doing what the greenhouse environment is able to deliver. In other words, not charging them the cost up front and doing some risk sharing and getting an additional element of what the harvest is in terms of each of the participation is. So we think this is interesting. This is very, very small at the moment. That's the Ichigo way, but we would be very interested in doing more in this area if we can. Page 22 speaks to another initiative. We are very long-term. We think carefully about how we need to grow the firm over time. We've come to understand that there are opportunities in Japanese real estate. It is a very traditional space. It is not necessarily IT sophisticated. It is not necessarily kind of open innovation oriented. We think there are a number of opportunities for us in terms of building networks. So we've developed an Ichigo Sustainable Lab. We've launched it internally. Its focus is on identifying new ways in which real estate and public infrastructure can be used to support a higher quality of life. We do have a hard-earned belief that ultimately companies need to serve the needs of customers and society or they're going to get weeded out. And certainly that's the right outcome. So there's a significant focus on how we can add value and how we can do so in a sustainable way. The three sub-labs within the Ichigo Sustainable Lab are Community Lab, which is working on building kind of communities and network effects. You know, the basic idea being that you have all these tenants and all these all these Ichigo buildings and assets who are not interconnected in any sort of way, and to seek ways to develop a platform that would add value for them, them meaning our tenants, as Ichigo tenants is the key focus of the Community Lab. The 100-year Real Estate Lab is focusing on how we can take assets. As you know, at the heart of what we do is value add. We tend not to tear buildings down. We're trying to figure out how to take 30-year-old buildings and 50-year-old buildings and make them sustainable. The economics of that are extraordinarily powerful. The sustainability is therefore powerful. So a technology effort, primarily kind of architectural and structural engineering based in an open architecture way to work on what we can do with Japanese real estate. And finally, Incubation Lab is, in the last couple of years, we spun out two ventures. One is Ichigo Owners and also Ichigo Tochi Shinjuku, which is working on kind of neighborhood and kind of development activity, a little bit longer term, value add activity. The Incubation Lab is going to support ongoing startup activity from the firm in order to seek to create value. Page 23 points with the buyback that we did in the last couple of months. We bought 3 billion yen worth of shares, about 1.7%, I think, of shares outstanding at an average price of 381 per share. So that is the summary of what we've done. And kind of some of the key initiatives underway. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you, everyone, for joining. It's an honor and a privilege to work for you. Have a good day.